You are now listening to a podcast from Cambridge University Press. And here's your host, Professor Jack C. Richards.
Hello. Today I'd like to say something about what is sometimes called the plateau effect in language learning. You're probably familiar with that term, certainly the phenomenon, and that refers to intermediate level students who seem to have done quite well in getting to the intermediate level and then seem to be stuck. They don't seem to be moving on. And there are a number of aspects to this plateau effect that I'd like to talk about today. One is the gap between receptive and productive competence. Secondly, the fact that fluency may have progressed at the expense of complexity. Thirdly, we're going to look at the issue of vocabulary, the issue of the naturalness of the speech the students are using, and the lingering errors, fossilized errors, which are often characteristics of learners at this stage. So let's look at these 5 points in turn. The first is the gap between receptive and productive competence. By this, I am referring to the fact that although the learners at the intermediate or upper intermediate level may have developed in their receptive capacities, in other words, what they can understand from listening or reading, their productive skills may still be stuck, may still be restricted in a sense, so that their productive skills are not developing at the same rate as their receptive skills. Now, one of the issues here is whether students are really paying attention to the language that they hear, whether they are noticing the differences between the richness of the language around them and their own production. This in the literature is referred to as noticing, the ability to learn from the input you receive by noticing the differences between the language you use and the language you hear. The noticing hypothesis says that one needs to be consciously aware to draw students' attention to the nature of the input that they're hearing, which can serve to activate the development of new language features. So in order to move one's productive skills further forward, students have to notice, if you like, the difference between where they are now and where they need to be. How can you do this? Well, you can use examples of input, which might be audio or video material or print material, text, for example, and focus on what the students know and what they don't know. Do they notice differences between the way language is used in the texts you introduce to them and their own ability to produce text of that kind? So noticing activities draw attention to the differences between what the students can do and what they need to be able to do. That's the first issue. The second issue is that fluency may have progressed at the expense of complexity. Over time, as students develop their language skills, they become more fluent, hopefully. Fluency refers to the ability to produce language quickly, comfortably, to express ideas coherently, to produce speech continuously. Now, over time, with practice, students do become more fluent. And hopefully they may also become more accurate, that their language skills through the activities I talked about in terms of noticing may help them improve the accuracy of their language output. But another area of language that needs to develop is the complexity of the language that they're using over time. Students may become more fluent in the language that they're using, but not, in fact, be developing more complex language. In other words, when we give them a role-play task or some communicative task to perform, they may be drawing on the language they know rather than incorporating new language into their performance. How can we build in an awareness of richer language, more complex language, into their task performance? Well, you can do it by focusing on language before they do a task, by giving them more time to think about the task, by having them plan the task, or by going back to the task after they've done it and looking at the language they use to see how complex the language was. Can it be said in another way? Can it be stretched? This notion of stretching, stretched output, is the term that's sometimes used to refer to tasks which require students to go beyond what they can currently do. For example, after doing an oral activity, they might then do a written activity which draws on the information they used for the oral activity. It might be a storytelling task. When they now present their task in written form, they will be able to look at vocabulary, grammar, syntax, how to use that, how to stretch what they have used and say it more, in a more complex way. Another issue has to do with vocabulary, because students may, at the intermediate level, have acquired a 3,000-word vocabulary, or perhaps less, but need to go far beyond this if they're going to really progress in their language learning. For example, research suggests that students need to understand 5,000 to 6,000 words to be really at the top of the intermediate level and to move into an advanced level program. If they are going to be reading content books for university studies or college studies, they'll need to even have more vocabulary at their fingertips than that. So how can students expand their knowledge of vocabulary as their language proficiency is developing? Of course, one way they can do this is by thinking of every lesson as a vocabulary lesson, because vocabulary is a component of every lesson, whether it be a speaking lesson, a writing lesson, a reading, or a listening lesson. So it's exploiting the potential, the possibility of input which we provide for its capacity to expand the student's vocabulary. And of course, it's not just a question of exposure, it's finding ways of remembering words that students have encountered, because they have encountered lots and lots of new words through the internet, through whatever use they have of English, reading and listening or whatever. But often these words don't last. So the only way for students to be able to expand their vocabulary is to systematically work on strategies for vocabulary retention. This might involve keeping a vocabulary journal. It might be building up bilingual word lists. Whatever it is that they can do that enables them to expand their vocabulary resources, but also to store and remember and be able to retrieve the words, the new words that they have encountered. Another issue that we find in intermediate level speech is that even if it's reasonably fluent, it may still not sound very natural. What are the characteristics of natural speech? Well, one of the characteristics of natural speech is the use of chunks or routines or fixed expressions. So these are the sort of things that make one's speech sound natural. I mean, an obvious example would be that we say nice to meet you when we meet somebody, for example. And there are hundreds of expressions like these that occur in ordinary conversational language. Research on corpus research, for example, has identified that there are hundreds of these little expressions or conversational routines that are learned and used as a part of ordinary communication. Some of them have particular functions for beginning a conversation or marking transition points in a conversation. Some are linked to particular kinds of speech acts and so on. So in order for a learner to develop natural speech, he or she has to become aware of how these conversational routines are used and where they occur. So it really means drawing attention to these in examples of spoken discourse which students are exposed to in different ways. You can have students look out for them when they're on the internet, when they're looking at TV, where they're looking at videos and so on, to find and notice examples of natural discourse, bring them to class, show them examples of natural discourse on a video, point out how these occur, work with materials that highlight the use of routines and expressions like these and provide opportunities for students to practice them. The last issue that I want to mention in the speech of intermediate level language learners is the occurrence of fossilized language errors, because as I said earlier, students often develop fluency. Hopefully they develop accuracy at the same time and complexity, but sometimes fluency develops at the expense of accuracy, because people focus often on what they want to say rather than how they want to say it. And so we find in the speech of many intermediate level language learners recurring errors that just seem not to go away. And these might involve errors of subject-verb agreement, using the right pronoun, for example, using the right tense, and so on. I think that one of the reasons that these errors occur is because students don't notice them. They're not aware that they're making them. And they're so busy focusing on the content of communication that they're not really aware of the language that they are using. Now, what can you do about fossilized errors? Well, if they don't notice them, they're not likely to correct them. So the first issue is really providing strategies for error correction, strategies for monitoring their own language use, where students do activities and sometimes they might do it with a focus on fluency, but then they might redo the activity, do it again, maybe record it with a focus on language, focus on accuracy, a focus on complexity. Going back to tasks which students have done and have them redo them, focusing this time on the accuracy of expression, the complexity of language that the students are doing, to try to identify what might be examples of recurring, if you like, fossilized forms that students become aware of. Because if they're not aware of them, they're never likely to self-correct. So noticing errors is the first stage in developing the ability to self-correct, to monitor and improve one's language performance.